everybody, obviously, if you're not working with a printed Yerushalmi, you don't. If you're working off the computer version that I sent you, for your convenience, you're not going to see this one. But is the Perush of the Baal Sefer Charedim. There is one Masech that I know of that it was put out by Professor Frankis from JTS, put out a long time ago on Beitza. I don't know that he actually put it out on Brachos, a better edition, but it is printed on the bottom. It's sort of the only Perush of Arishon that we have on the Yerushalmi, at least of any length. It's Rabbi Lazar Azkari or Azakri. But it's a fairly late Perush. I mean, latest as far as we shown him go. So he too interprets that the first interpretation, the first passage in the Gemara, where the Gemara had a Masnisa Amar Kain, the way David did, the way I wanted to read it. And then he says the second one is a kasha, is a challenge. And that basically is a machlokas here, whether or not, when you chop something up, whether or not it retains its bracha. Okay, be that as it may, we'll pick up where we left off yesterday in the Yerushalmi. And here, I want to, in fact, I guess I should apologize, but if you use the printed edition, I didn't check it. I originally learned in the Yerushalmi there are a couple of errors there. They're not my typos. I think they must be off the Bar Ilan, where I took the text from, and that may have thrown some of you for a loop, which is why I assume at some point, anyway, you always open up the regular Yerushalmi anyway. You know what I'm talking about? What word? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the word O would have been... I mean, you could figure out, if you sort of know from the context of the Yerushalmi, you can figure it out, but it's very, very annoying. Okay, well, that's more... That you can realize is already a visual thing. So, anyway, so the Yerushalmi, we left off with Rav Chiya.
What was it supposed to be from the
doing? Merore.
Merore, okay. The O was supposed to be low.
All right, so can I have a new volunteer to read? Jeremy, go ahead. Okay. Now, just get used to this Ruchia bar that's even a stranger. Normally you get with a base. It is not uncommon to find in, not so much in the Bavli, but you find it in the Yerushalmi, you find it in the Targumim, where Vav and Vase are interchanging. Sometimes one vav, sometimes two vavs. The pronunciation of the vav has a long history. I'm not an expert in its history, but it's pretty obvious. On the one hand, there are people, Adayim Azeh, certainly Yemenites, even Italian Jews, as can be witnessed by the Mincha Shai, we're still pronouncing a vav as wa. If you look at the Mincha Shai, says here, how do you pronounce the last Shabbos' reading? This week's parsha. How do you pronounce the hero of this week's parsha?
Noach.
Your two choices are Noach or Noach. In other words, you definitely don't read Nocha. Okay, that's like the same people get up and say Mifnei Adon Choli Yaretz Mifnei Eloha Yaakov, indicate that they don't know how to read Hebrew. Okay, but here we're talking about that's what we call Patach Genuva. It's Eloah, in the same like it's Noach. We Ashkenazim don't hear it by an ayin, but it's the same thing. Yoshua, it's a patach genuva. The question is, how do you pronounce it? Do you pronounce it Noach or Noach? And the Mincha Shai says it's machlokes, whether or not you put an aleph there or you put a yud or a vav. Yud or a vav depends upon the vowel. A cholam and a shuruk get a vav. A chirik and a tzera get a yud. So reyach versus reyach, that's a yud. Reyach. And in a name like Noach, Noach, that's a vav, that's what he calls that. So he was pronouncing even Italy as a W. On the other hand, you can tell from the interchange that I think, in all probability, there were those who were pronouncing it as a vav, the fact that it could be confused with the vase. So this is Rav Chiya bar Abba. He was a Babylonian expat. He and Rav Shimon bar Abba, I don't know if they were brothers, often had difficulties with some of the practices in Eretz Yisrael, but nonetheless, they had made Aliyah, but clearly they were culturally out of context. And so he quotes Rav Yochanan as saying, "Azayis kavush, you make bari priha eitz." Okay, pickled olives. I think today people certainly do eat pickled olives, but people... What?
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever eats raw olives.
What's that? Yeah, some much more so than others. But I think raw olives can be eaten. They're not, that's not the typical form. And I think I've had.
Almost inedible.
And so he says that a zayis kavush, so you make a bari priya. It's fine. You can do other things with olives too, obviously. Rabbi Yaman bar Yefes said that on Yerek Shaluk, and he's not talking about the same place, but he is quoting Rabbi Yochanan, said that you say a shahakol. Okay. Now, is there a machlokus between the two of them? So when you read it initially, it doesn't necessarily appear there's a machlokus, nor does there have to be a machlokus between the two of them. They are talking about different cases. The only way one is going to assume that there has to be a machlokus is if you assume that they're conceptually equated. Now, on our own, I don't know, let's work the assumption that olives are typically only eaten after they've been pickled. Okay, if that's the case, maybe that's why you make a bari preitz. Maybe yerek is not typically eaten shaluk. I mean, some vegetables have to be cooked, but they don't necessarily have to be shaluk. They could be mavushal, and some can be eaten raw. Many vegetables are eaten raw. So if that's the case, you could vision that perhaps there's no machlokas, and we'll see that at the end of the Yushalmi in a very problematic passage. Okay, but in the meantime, on the assumption that maybe there is a machlokas, Amar Chaim.
Kavush means pickled for sure. Jesra is also crushed or squeezed, rather.
No, in this context, the kavush refers to being pickled.
It's not the tzura. The bottom of the beit avod that they're scraping out of. It's not like the leftovers from pressing the...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. No, there is... you have a description... Well, we're going to... There's an expression you encounter in Yeridea and from the Gemara, Kavush Kimavushal. Kavush Kimavushal does not mean if you stomp on it really hard. You know, despite the fact that there may be Boyle's Law, there may be a connection between volume and temperature and things like that. But nonetheless, Kavush means pickled. You can't. I thought you can't use horseradish because it's not maror.
Yeah,
but
no, but as well.
No, because it's not maror.
No.
But
like
fine. Okay. I assume that horseradish is not maror bichlal. Doesn't matter what you do to it. You know what you don't mean when you say that, you mean the red stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's got mixed in other stuff also. Who knows what you're tasting? But you can get it plain, but it's still not maror.
Right. Well, we'll be the whole
Okay, but that's not fine.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah, all right, so yes, there's a din of kavush kemavushal. There's a din of kavush kemavushal. Fine. Yes, and that relates to the Mishnah Psachim. So go ahead. Okay. So what does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah Psachim say?
It's saying that maror on Pesach can be
kavush shaluk or mavushal. Fine. Can't be pickled, it can't be overcooked, it can't be cooked. Okay. Now, this is something, by the way, which is a concern in contemporary preparations of Pesach, that if you're cleaning the lettuce for a concern of bugs, and it's not a crazy concern, they certainly has to be cleaned, I mean. So one of the ways of dealing with it, ordinarily with vegetables, you want to kill the bugs is you can soak, or I assume it kills them and helps loosen the bugs' grip on their leaves, is to put vinegar in. But you're not allowed to, we don't do that with the lettuce because of concern of kavush kemavushal. We don't know exactly what the shear is. Even to leave it soaking in water for an extended period of time, but it may have to be 24 hours if it's pure water, is a problem because we assume that when something sits in a liquid for 24 hours, that's also called kavush. That will have an impact, again, for those of you who learn Yerodea. So, the upshot of the Mishnah is that if you kovesh the lettuce, or the marar, or you sholeik it, or you mevashal it, it no longer has the status of marar for the purposes of mitzvah. So what is the assumption that the Yushalmi is making in terms of when it sees this as a kasha, as a raya for Binyamin bar Yefes? Jason? Well, it's a siyuah for Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes. How does it prove Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes?
Because it's considered as if
the vegetable is no longer be'en. Because if the vegetable were be'en, then why would you not be yotzei your chiyuv of maror with it? It seems not unreasonable, at least at first glance, not unreasonable. So now, there you get the response. Amar Rav Zeira.
min Rabbi Yochanan Yehu.
Okay, you could say Abba. So, Ruchi Bar Abba. So the question is, who took better notes in Shir, basically? That's what this is. Who took better notes in Shir? And the answer is, Ruchi Bar Abba. So who are you going to believe? If Rabbi Yochanan, assuming, again, the assumption in the question of the Yerushalmi is that these two statements are contradictory, which one did Rabbi Yochanan say, and which one did he not say, obviously, because Rabbi Yochanan would never contradict himself? So the answer is Rabbi Chiya bar Abba must be correct. What's that? Is it not Rabbi Chiya bar Abba? No, so that's riot number one, that despite the fact that you have a Mishnah in Pesachim which seems to indicate Rabbi Yochanan bar Yefes is correct, it can't be, because he didn't get things straight. Right, he's the guy, you know the difference between two people who cheat on an exam. If a person's going to cheat on an exam, you better cheat off somebody who got the answer right. Because if you cheat off somebody who got the answer wrong, particularly an odd wrong answer, so then both of you will be nigla that you either studied together, so that you cheated off each other. Now, I don't want to give anybody itzis chas v'shalom to cheat. I think you know what I hold about that. But anyway, the point is that if you're going to... Rav Chiya bar Abba was the one whose notes you wanted to get. So that's raya number one. Raya number two.
Who's sitting behind on him?
That's part of the raya of the Gemara, of the Yerushalmi speaking. Whoever said that. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak. Yes, he's the one who said that's the conclusion of his proof. Okay?
How does it prove that Kavosh is that?
You don't make a boy pre Adama because you see that once it's Kavosh or Shalok, it's not Be'en anymore. And the assumption we made until now throughout the sugya is when something is be'en, you make the original bracha on the food. When it's not be'en, then you make a shahakal.
It's throwing those two things as opposite.
It's assuming, the question assumes that... It assumes that there's a stira.
It assumes that it can't retain its appearance after becoming kavosh.
That's what the Mishnah sounds like.
Except the Mishnah doesn't use the word ba'ayin.
Okay, that's fine. So go ahead. So the ode, min hadah. Okay, so here, so od min hada, od min zos, okay, od raya, mima she'anu roim shechachamim gedolim, alun means
enter,
nichnesu, la'avra yosa probably means la'avros, which is a biblical Hebrew word found by
David HaMelech
after Avner's murder, so the nation came la'avros to Samelech David Lechem. So as we call in Hilchos Avelos, we talk about a Sudas Havra'a. You have other occurrences also.
It's not
Lehavri. No. That's Beis Reish Aleph. This is Beis Reish Yud, probably. Lehavros in by David HaMelech is Beis Reish Yud.
What is a meal?
I'm sorry?
It's a meal?
If you would like to, yes. I don't know if you can create a verb like that. Yeah. It means to feed. We use the term Sudas Havra by Avelos. The people feed. It's when it probably is when you feed somebody else. Okay, go ahead.
And they take Turmasin.
Lupine.
Lupine, thank you. And they make a brasa for every Adama.
Turmusan. Okay. Now. The way I want to read the Shalmi, stop at this point. This is the riot. So you have a tormus, which granted is a vegetable which is poisonous if not heavily cooked. The Bamli speaks about taking a tormus and you have to cook it seven times. And I assume you spilled out the water in between each thing. Otherwise, what's the difference? Just leave it on seven times as long. And so a tormus, they made a bari pri adam on this. If they made a bari pri adam on tormus, that would directly contradict Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes' claim that you make shahakol on yerek, which is shalom. Now, of course, the possibility should exist that maybe there's a difference between different kinds of vegetables. However, right now, the Yerushalmi has not yet reached that point. Now, of course, one problem still remains, which is the Mishnah Pesachim. What do you do? Okay, that's very nice. So you have these Amorayim who didn't do like Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes. You have the fact that Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes took bad notes. But the bottom line is the Mishnah does support his position. You know, neither of those two are hechreach, but the Mishnah is an issue that has to be grappled with. So now the Yerushalmi says, I would say, in Tamar, I don't think you have Ain. I don't think you have Ain in Yerushalmi Aramaic. I don't think you have it. I'm not sure if in Bavli Aramaic either.
It's here, isn't it? It's not yes.
In Tamar, Masnisen, if you're going to ask, what do you do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah Psachim that says that you make that it's no good for Mara. So the answer is, the Torah says you need al matzosum rorim yochluhu. Which word? Shanihi. It's like shani. It's different.
How do you pronounce it?
Probably shanya. Yeah. Shanya hi sha'amra Torah merorin. And the next word, if I could be magia the girsa, I would say yurakos. He says turmasin, but it shouldn't only be turmasin. In other words, it should be all the things listed in the Mishnah Sachim. Turmasin, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So what would the Yushalmi's answer appear to be? Although, the simple reading of the Yushalmi's answer would appear to be what? I'm sorry? Yeah, in other words, what the Mishnah Sachim does not address, what question does the Mishnah Sachim not address? Shalom said correctly, say it louder. What bracha you make on the maror which you were sholeik or you were mevashel or you were kovesh. It doesn't say you make a shakl on them. It just says you can't be yotzei maror. That could be because they're not bitter anymore. But that doesn't mean, in other words, there's a requirement of amatzosim rarim.
Tzvei
dinim. That's correct. It's tzvei dinim. There's one din in terms of the bracha. There's one din in terms of maror. Exactly. That whenever you get a shanya here in this case, it's exactly what it means. Okay, so now, finally, so up until now, you had a machlokas hamorayim, but the Yerushalmi seems to lean in the direction of saying that on kavush and shaluk, you actually make a borei pri adama or borei pri etz, depending on what the thing that you pickled or cooked was. But now we get the last line in the Yerushalmi here. Amar. Yerek. Okay. What does the Yerushalmi say? Fine. Granted. So the first point is the Yerushalmi here, after the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yosef Bar Abin says that there's no machlokas. That there's two, that the halacha is different between the two cases, not because it's two deos, but because They're two different types of food. Why are they different kinds of food? What makes the bracha on the zayis bori pri ha'etz, even though you were kovish it, but the yerek, which you were sholeik, it's bori pri ha'dem ra'yal? Pun intended, yes, go ahead. Yeah, explain further. Yeah, and what about the shelek? What about the yerek, excuse me?
What about the yerek?
Yeah. But I think yerek typically is. That is frequently done. Jason? What? Go back, finish it. What's possible? Eat what chai? Is that what the Yerushalmi says? Yeah, Zayas.
That's Darko.
Zayas is Darko. Presumably, Yerek is not Darko.
No, maybe Yerek is
Darko. No, but it's a beta.
We would have thought otherwise. We would have thought that Zayas is not Darko.
The way... Guy, I'll respond a second. Jason, Guy, you want to say something? That could be true, but it's not what the Yerushalmi says, I think. And I don't know whether you're enhancing the flavor or whether you're simply masking it. In other words,
you're preserving the pickling.
Yes, but it doesn't preserve flavor. It preserves.
It preserves the fruit. It brings out the fruit.
Does it? I mean, I don't know. When you taste a pickle, are you tasting cucumber in its rarefied form, or are you tasting? We're gonna have a pickle tasting exhibition here. Okay, let's bring the. But I don't know, Ezra.
So I thought, the simple wasn't the simple shot that Zayin, since it's normally the chayim and you mess around with it, it remains the same. But Yerek, since you put something strange to it, it changes. Isn't that the opposite of how we halachically think? We think that if you do something weird, then it changes. But if you do something normal, it remains the same.
So the Rashba and the Charei, the matter if he quotes the Rashba, maybe the Moshe quotes it. And the Mari Apanim, they all want to change the Girsa and the Yerushalmi because it doesn't conform to what the Bavli is thinking. Now, it is appealing. There's only one grounds on which I could possibly sanction doing that, though, is if you assume it's inconceivable that Zayis was Darko Lechol Chai. The Yerushalmi claims, the way it's printed in front of us, that olives are typically eaten raw. What's Michael? Okay, so that's to me, this is one of those cases where you wind up in a situation. Was it ripe?
Yeah.
And same experience. The shtanu hatzvayim. Okay, David.
Is it possible that thai
Let me go back to something Moshe said and somebody else was saying. I want to take issue with the reading, the way the Yerushalmi reads with the text in front of us. Maybe the text is wrong. Maybe I would be inclined to amend only because of the Matzias issue, not because of what the Bavli says. If it weren't for the Matzias question, I would say you could better understand the Yerushalmi on its own terms. If it's something that should be a davar hanimna, simply midarcha ateva, so then you can assume that. You know, it is more likely a natural process that a scribe made an error than the olives are normally eaten raw. So then you would amend the text. But in the absence of that, I would be reluctant. But I wanted to just talk about the sense of the text, Moshe, to respond to what you were suggesting. A contrast is being drawn between Zaysim and Yerek. So by Zais, we say, the way it reads, because it can and normally is eaten raw, even though you happen to pickle it, it's still considered ve'ain. But a Yerek, the implication is because it's not typically eaten chai.
Is never really a yerek. Was never had the din of borei breada.
Correct. Any yerek, and you have to qualify this. Obviously, you can't say all yerek is not darko lechol chai, because then the Mishnah says al yerek. He says borei pri adama, and Rabbi Yehuda says borei mi d'sham. So obviously, if it were to mean that, and this might be another reason why to amend the Yerushalmi, but if it were to, the reading of the Yerushalmi would have to be that yerek, at least some yerek, is never eaten chai, therefore it doesn't have a borei pri adama in the first place. In other words, what the Yerushalmi would be saying is that the food, the machal, is tofes its bracha only when it becomes edible. Once it becomes edible, whatever you do to it doesn't really change it. It's still considered banned, unless you pulverize it beyond recognition or beyond flavor. What I mean, we could fill in. I don't know how far the Yerushalmi would go. The point of the Yerushalmi as it reads in front of us would be that something that can be eaten raw acquires the bracha of borei pri eitz, borei pri hadama. In effect, going back to the notion yesterday that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who created it, the fact that we change it some doesn't really change its bracha. Something that was inedible when the Ribbono Shel presented it to us, and now must be processed in order to eat it, so that doesn't get the bracha borei pri hadam or borei pri ha'etz. And that's why there's a difference between the yerek, which you have to be sholeik, which presumably was the yerakos that they probably were only sholeik normally, the yerakos that required shlika. And therefore, you know, yerek, which he was sholeik, you make shakal on. Zayis, since it's darko lechol chai, even though you pickle it, or if you were sholeik it, whatever else you did to it, would still have the brach of borei pri eitz. Now, if not for the Matzias problem of the Zayis issue, you'd have to read the Yerushalmi that way. Eyal? No, I'm assuming. I'm saying the way you read the first line of Yerushalmi is Zayis ayidei shedarko lechacha aval pishe kabash, and you would think that it's the shtana, right? In other words, because it's normally eaten raw, because it can be eaten raw, even though you were kovish it, it's still considered an end. It means one would have thought that the kvisha constitutes nishtana. It's not raw once you pickle it. No, the whole point is I think that it's clear kavush kemavushal. That's implied at least by the Mishnah Pesachim by Maror. I want to know if I have to think, look in Chulin and Kalabasar to see if there are any Beferish Mishnayos there also about kavush. I have to see how early, but I think that the Mishnah Pesachim implies that kavush kemavushal. Kavushin shlukin and mavushalin. Yeah. Again, you could say. You could say, again, so that you could say it's simply a function of tam. But I will tell you, even if you draw on what bishul, what is bishul in Mehilcha Shabbos? Do you remember? You know the definition of bishul by Shabbos? There are two definitions. What does the malach of bishul accomplish? What? It softens the hard and hardens the soft. Bishul works both ways. So cover, what does kavush do to things generally?
It changes the flavor.
But it does more than that.
It softens.
It softens. I think so.
Yeah, pickles soften.
I didn't leave a somebody very well pickled, at least cucumbers very well pickled.
No,
but the point is, it's not that the point is, well yes it is in some ways, because it makes it more edible.
Olive, it's definitely
right, in the case of olives, I think that's the case. Right, so the point is, I think that we could have a long, you know, we could study the history and try to figure out when kavush kemavushal is really the operative svara, but I don't think it's a big stretch to assume that that's the reading of the Mishnah. Certainly, you know, the Yushalmi and the Havamina, when they asked the question before they came on to the answer of Batlam and Rusan, certainly was assuming that, right, that it constitutes a shinui. That kavush is a change, just like mavushal is a change, just like shalak is a change. So we were docha. So my point is, I agree, but when the Yushalmi says that b'zayis al yeshadarka lechol chai afal pisha kavush be'inohu, in other words, even though kavush constitutes a change, because zaysim are eaten raw, doesn't change the bracha. Yeah, but then the response line of the Yushami, Yerek Kevin Shishlaka and Nishtana.
Right.
No, but still, you're not. What does it have to do? It has nothing to do with the fact that Zayas is Nechel Kamo Shuchai. In other words, it's not that Kavush. Why does it matter that Zayas is Nechel Kamo Shuchai? Your point is that Kavush is not a Shinui. So what the Yushalmi appears to be saying is that because something can be eaten a certain way, that which you do to it doesn't even constitute a shinui. Moshe, you want to respond?
I just thought that was the point of differentiating between Zayas and Yerach. There's something about Zayas, I don't know what it is, I don't know whether the Gemara is really it.
But it says what it is!
No, but there's something about Zayas that, again, I don't know if it's really coming across in the Gemara, but Zayas, Afal Pi, Shekavosh,
but you're leaving alone the first part again, forgetting the Mitzvah's question, right? Ayidei Shadarko Lechol Chai is what makes the Zayas different.
Right, but there is a side meaning different from the vegetable.
From the Yerek, this particular Yerek which can't be eaten raw. Or it's not Darko to be eaten raw.
That's not necessarily the case. First of all, I would read from the last line, Yerek Kivan Shalko Nishtada, meaning that since you boiled it, whether you needed to or not, it's now different from what you would normally do with it.
Then why is that line, again, you have to read the text in context. Why the first line, Zayas, Ayidei Shadarko Lecho Chai? I think even though it's not spelled out, I think it's a double pashut. Yerek, Kevin Shein Darko Lecho Chai, Kevin Sheshlako Nishtana. Now, the Matthias question, though, may be an overwhelming question, unless their olives were different than our olives. I can't rule that out, but I don't doubt it. David, and then I'll get you. Okay.
If you read Chai, kind of like what Ayal was saying, as opposed to cooked or heated, that process, so then it makes sense that olives are eaten raw, that they're eaten uncooked, they're simply pickled. So in that case, it's saying that... In that case, it's saying that something pickled is still considered bad.
But why is that a product of the fact that it can be eaten raw? It's a product of the fact that pickling is still banned.
He's saying that kavush is raw.
You would say something that...
But kavush is raw regardless of whether the food is typically eaten raw or not. That was my problem with what Ayala is saying. In other words, it could be some things could be eaten raw, some things not eaten raw, but if you say pickling is not a change, pickling is not a change. It has nothing to do whether it's edible without the pickling or not. Cucumbers can be eaten raw. Olives can't be eaten raw, right? Pickling them presumably constitutes, at least until the thesis you're working with, shouldn't make a difference whether they're pickles or olives. What's IO2? Aaron, you have still a question?
Yeah.
And then Shalom.
It's not only that olives are eaten raw, it's that Yirakot are eaten raw.
No, assume these are Yirakos that were not eaten raw. I mean, that's easy to see.
Do you have examples of, even in the Yerushalmi, of Yirakot that were eaten raw? Of course. Why are we assuming Yirakot were not eaten raw?
Because that's why he cooked them. It's ein darko lecho, ein darko lecho chai is implied. There are lots of vegetables most people don't eat raw.
Right, but then make a distinction, make that.
No, but one gets the sense that my sense is maybe that will is that most of their vegetables they did not eat raw.
Yeah.
There are very few vegetables I can think of that can't be eaten cooked. I mean, there are some.
What?
Lettuce.
Why not?
Okay. That's not lettuce. That's cabbage. Okay. You know, a cucumber's cooked. I don't imagine. But you're telling Michael you eat cucumbers cooked.
Kavush.
Okay. So maybe.
Kavush.
What? Have eaten. Would you recommend it?
I don't see why not.
Somebody would.
You sure it wasn't squash?
Actually, I have. Once okay. In Israel, I was trying to make a soup with
anyway,
squash.
Anyway, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry for opening this can of vegetables. But I assume when the Gemara talks about shalak, the sense you get is that most of the things that they actually cooked.
Aren't we also talking about the fact that it's not just boiled? It's over?
You know, I would like to know more about that. The Yushalmi never actually, and I'm not sure the Bible either, goes into that distinction between shaluk and mevushal.
The Mishnah Psachim specifically mentions both.
Yes.
Mevushal is separate from
yes,
shaluk.
But
here, I would assume that most vegetables are not eaten raw. They're eaten mevushal. And this case...
I'm not so sure. Think about the Mishnah in later in the parak, the last Mishnah. We're going to deal with this Mishnah soon. What do you make Birchas HaMazon on? There are three shitos, right? What are the three shitos?
Shlokos, bread, and...
Bread... Shivas Aminim and Shelek. Now, Afilu Achal Shelek Vahum Mizona, Rabbi Akiva says. I wasn't complaining, I was just struck at the order. So Shelek, you see that there were people, and the Gemara does wonder about that, like, for whom is Shelek Mizona? But Shelek is a reference to vegetables, it's not an accidental overcooking. That might be somebody's diet. So I get the sense that shaluk was a way vegetables were commonly eaten. You know, I don't know why today most of us do not like overly cooked, you know, vegetables. You might like your broccoli steamed a little bit, maybe even cooked, but at a certain point it's waterlogged. But tastes change. Yes, David?
Do we know the reality of what it means for someone to be shaluk?
We do not have an exact definition.
Could it be cooked such a point that it
I know, I don't think so. I think it's clear that the shaluk is not dissolved yet. That's the one thing I think is clear. It might be easy very to mash it and mush it very easily. That's what I think shaluk is.
Right, but it could be something to be made into like a kugel.
No, I don't think it's... I think it's something more and than that. I think so. In other words, it's the difference between if you steam carrots, you cook them a little bit, but it's pretty hard to mash them still, versus if you put the carrots in the soup, you can take it out and put your spoon down and it's mush.
But then why would we be questioning if it's still this bad? Whether it's incredibly soft or not, it still looks like...
So you're assuming that what it looks like, you know, you bought into the... You bought into the old, maybe before your time. It's not how you feel, but it's not but how you look, right? That's what you think is. Oh boy, I'm getting old. When I know the cultural reference, oh vey, I'm getting old. Okay, Billy Crystal? No, no. You've heard of him at least. Okay. Anyway, from many years ago. Whatever. What's that?
He was in City Slickers.
Okay. It's just one of these lines that you would hear or whatever. Anyway, so...
what else could it mean?
What else could what mean, Shalom?
Be'en.
No, be'en is partially a halachic definition. If it were not physically extant at all, you know, if it's completely dissolved, no one's going to say, probably no one's going to, we think no one might say that you may still make a bari priya hadama on it.
Why not? After all, you make bari priya eights on orange juice. Even without pulp.
Wait, the zayas? No.
Maybe all their orange juice.
No, I agree. Look, there is a shita that says that you do make a brach, such a brach on shalach, just as if you grind it up. Do me the pas. That was yesterday's thing. I agree. Now, there's those who would go say, as long as you could see, even if that's not its original tzura, that you still make the original bracha. But in terms of those who would say, I would say there is such a shita, but one could envision at a certain point, and I'm not sure what that is, that everyone would agree. And when it's dissolved at a certain point where you can't see, it's not just that it's baby food in a jar, where you can still see it looks like mushed carrots. When it's gone beyond that, so there may be a point everybody's going to agree it's not ben anymore. Jason? Oh, Shalom.
I mean, we saw yesterday that Yerushalmi didn't have a problem with the fact that you drink Shemin Zayin. So maybe that's what it means when it says that it's dark on the whole time.
I like it. The only problem with that is that the way, at least, you're going to have to adopt. What was the explanation I gave for the Yerushalmi? Beginning with the Mitzvah's problem, that something which in its current state is already edible, the fact that you change it doesn't change the bracha, because already it's borei pri ha'etz, right, in the case of olives. The problem is, in this case, you have to process it first. So, in other words,
you say borei pri ha'etz on that.
You do say, right.
Say borei pri ha'etz on olive oil. I think the reason why what he says is so great.
Okay, but Yerushalmi,
the Gemara is basically viewing the prime form of olives as olive oil instead of olives.
Right, but that doesn't explain that. I said that doesn't explain this line.
It just so happens when you eat a pickle, you don't smash it first.
Yeah, but the point is you never eat it, but you're not eating it raw. I also find it hard to believe. See, I find it hard to believe that the Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael, they used to drink olive oil. It was one of the beverages on the menu. I'm more inclined to believe that the Yerushalmi believes that if this guy happens to drink olive oil, that it has a din of bari priya. It's not, in other words, and they're not concerned about ozuke mazik, whatever the Bavli says, rather than to see it as that it was a difference in Mitzias. In Bavel, they didn't drink the olive oil. In Eretz Yisrael, they drank the olive oil.
Another possible explanation is just that not that the taste of olives has changed, but people's taste of things change.
Oh, sorry, see?
It's too hard to eat.
Okay, so we'll have to. What's that?
I think we should just look this up at some point in like encyclopedia.
Whether. Well, let's put it here. Yeah, that is true. So, Chaim, you have a job. You know, we might have to see if we can get a hold of raw olives and we're going to have a tasting ceremony here.
Don't do it.
What's that?
Don't do it. Just put it horrible. Just put it on the way. Then you don't say
okay. Anyway, to be continued. But it's a bottom line then. So that's one way of reading the Yerushalmi. Jason, your comment, and then I want to talk about the Rishon and flip it, obviously.
For Yerushalmi, you said it would always make.
You may, if it's something normally eaten high.
Even if we pick it, then we still make the original.
According to this, according to reading the Yerushalmi right now. What do you mean?
Like if I were to have a cucumber and a pickle, right, then I would make the same bracha on the pickle as on the cucumber.
Right?
But if I'm never going to use the pickle for the same thing that I'm going to use the cucumber for, then they're not the same.
Yeah, but what? Really Lamashal, give me an example. What are you thinking of?
I'm sure there's some pickle that you
wouldn't eat? Then why pickle it?
That I would not use the same thing. No, that I would not use them as the same thing. Is it that, it should be more than just eating it, but that I'm using it for a totally different. It's become a new.
Don't you think you're going to eat it anyway as a food?
You're going to eat it somehow. That's why you pickle it.
But
you might pickle it to preserve it, but you're still going to eat it.
But if it's something that's not high,
and then we cook it, then it doesn't have its original. Then it never had a bracha of ha'ezer adam, and that's why.
Correct.
It's so what I thought was that something like a pickle that I would never use for the same thing as a cucumber would be a totally different.
Maybe, but I don't know. Well, how is that possible? In other words, if you eat it raw. And sometimes you pickle it. What else do you do after you pickle? You eat it. That's why we pickle foods. Sometimes it makes it edible. Sometimes it preserves it. What do you mean? That I have pickles? I have pickles in a deli, but I have cucumbers as an, you know.
That's two different things.
You pickle onions in that container which also has fish in order to give the fish the taste of the onion and the fish.
So you want to, in that case. Well, that you have to get a question. Onions can be eaten raw, but not too easily.
You can.
I certainly, we do eat onions raw frequently, but not, you don't usually take an onion and eat it raw. It's usually, you know, cut up or something.
It's in Shakespeare.
Taros, what's that? I just don't know that the typically.
It doesn't matter that they're used for different applications.
So it might be, but that's what Yerushalmi is not talking about. That assume you're eating both. Now, the other way of handling the Yerushalmi, which is unappealing, but it might be necessary because of the Metzias question, is that a number of Rishonim, as I mentioned before, try to reverse it in effect because they want it to match with what the Bavli has. But I think that throwing out the Sfar we just threw out is important to put out there. It might be wrong. It's certainly different than what the Bavli has. That does not make it wrong. It just makes it different. And I'd be very inclined to accept it if not for the Messias problem. Okay, so what happens in the reverse? Zayis al kevan she'ein darko lecho chai. So, see, the problem is everything has to be changed. You have to say kevan she'kavash be'einavu. In other words, it can't be. It can't, because it doesn't fit at all with the words. Everything has to be changed. In other words, look at the two changes I just made. Afal pi she'ein darko lecho chai. Zayis kevan she'ein darko lecho chai. So it shouldn't be afal pi she'kavash. It should be kevan she'kavash. And the explanation should not be be'einon hein. In other words, the entire discussion in the Yerushalmi is supposed to focus upon the fact that whether it's be'en or not be'en. The fact that you normally eat, and as the Bavli is going to say, and what the Rashba and the Baal Sefer Charedim are trying to read here, is that if you normally eat it one way, then you make the regular bracha, that's called Bari Priyates. If you don't normally eat this way, then you don't make the Bari Priyates. And the same thing is true by the Yerek. You know, what's the normal way of eating it? None of the words, it doesn't fit at all with the context of the Yerushalmi, Chaim.
Maybe you could say it like this, if you were to say that Darko is to eat it kavush, right? So even so, if you eat it raw, because even though it's not the normal way of eating it, but because it's ba'ein, then you still make the ha'eitz. Meaning it's the
as opposed to yerek.
You would flip the words kavush and chayim.
In other words, the normal thing is to eat it kavush, right? And that would be normally what
make it. I will tell you, by the way, just. So this doesn't have to disqualify what you're saying, but this would not make the Rishonim happy, because that would not be in accordance with the logic of the Bavli. Right? You don't want to say that just because that. In other words, the point according to the Bavli, what's that?
If you wanted to eat the olives regularly pickled, as we do now,
yes, it does solve the Metzias problem. But Again, it's still. In other words, you want to say Azayis al yidei shadarka lecho kavush, alva pisha halochai beinohi. That's strange. Again, there's nothing with bein. Well, you know, it because we have two problems with the Yerushalmi. We have one problem with the Yerushalmi. The problem with the Yerushalmi is we don't think that people eat olives raw. Okay, maybe that's not true, but we don't think so.
How would that make two opinions not over meals and not argue?
Oh, but Yerek, because...
Shelka. We're still making a difference between Be'en and Nishtana.
Yeah, and Yerek Shaluk, we would say, it is Darko Lecho Chai, and since you were Shalik it, it lost its bracha. That's how it would make the two go together. So Yerek Shaluk Shakal, Zayis Kavush is Hayitz.
Maybe it's making a distinction between shaluk and kavush, meaning even though kavush is like it's cooked, but it's not necessarily like shaluk. I mean, it could be like shaluk is even more extreme, and therefore when it's shaluk, even though it's a normal way of eating it, it's lost its main.
But that's not what's implied by the language of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi throws in this notion that because Zayin is Darko Lecho Chai, or if you want to say, because Ein Darko Lecho Chai, either way, that seems to be a determinative factor here. Jeremy.
Well, the
Pasuk
of Haredim was sensitive to the problem of the same, with the
Afal P. That I understand.
Well, he says
Afilu. Afilu doesn't solve the problem, but you would say Kavan. But even so, still, what does that have to do with Be'en? Why is Be'en important?
Perhaps the opposite of what I was saying, which is that Kavush is less than Shaluk. I'm sorry, Kavush is more than Shaluk. No. Kavush
and therefore it's Be'en? Okay, that still doesn't solve. I have to say that even with the difficulties in Metzias, I'm inclined to leave the Yerushalmi as it is, and maybe they did have a greater tolerance for olives.
It's much more likely.
What's that?
Right, there's not a Greek root to
it. Yes, they used to grow in Chernobyl, I know. Who knows? Listen, I don't know how many of you are from families where they shop at Costco when you talk about big foods, but my wife has asked Akasha. She understands that when you go to Costco, you get 17 things in a package, but why are they twice the size of the normal ones? That's the Akasha. And that's a good Akasha. So maybe they did have bigger olives. I don't know. Probably not. But I don't know. There could be all sorts of reasons or things that they did that when they plucked them and so on, that maybe they were more edible. You know, again, but there's a general problem not having to do with the edibility. We'd be reasonably certain they probably, most of their olive crop probably went for olive oil. And the same way that most of the grape crop probably went for wine. That you can find out in your research, okay, for tomorrow. yes.
We're sticking with pickled for kavush, because it makes more sense to grind olives.
No. Because the word kavush is not used in this sugya at all in that context. I don't think that usually term, you know, kovesh is not the term that you use for your dough race. You know, I don't think you typically get the word. Kovesh can mean to use pressure. You can't, it is used sometimes in pressing certain the boards together, but you're not kovesh zesim. When you're kovesh zesim, you pickle them. When you're dough race zesim, you're pressing them. I think so. Michael?
Since I just said most of their olives were used for oil.
I suspect, yeah. That was what Shalom had suggested before. The reason I find that hard to believe. That's what Shalom was saying. The reason I have a problem believing, Shalom pointed out what we said yesterday, the Yerushalmi never asked the question that the Bavli does, is who drinks olive oil straight? Therefore, maybe what it means here, Darka Lachos Chai as Shemin's Eyes. The problem is, I can't believe, you know, I don't know if I've ever had raw olives. I do have olive oil, and I could tell you that you probably, even though there are varieties, some of the extra virgin are sweeter than others, or less bitter than others, I can't imagine anywhere they used to drink olive oil. So
maybe nobody said they're drinking it, but back when you use olive oil, when you consume it, it's not cooked. Not necessarily in a cup, just like fine salad, or whatever.
Again,
also we said the pasuk says they shemen, like the identity of an olive is in its
oil. So he's gone a step further, which actually helps address part of the issue. Here's the only problem that I have, which that's good, except when you say it's strange to argue we're talking about whether something is still be'en or not.
But if that's the identity of an olive, just like we say, I know there's a lot, some people say that on chocolate, you should be saying ha'ain. Maybe you could say, just like there, we're saying the identity of the cocoa bean is in its chocolate form. You could say the identity of an olive is in its oil form, and therefore that is vain for the olive.
Yeah, but we said before Zayas Kavush, Zayas Kavush on my level of create, people do eat olives pickled.
I'm inclined to accept what you're saying. I think if you take out the pishalom that you tried to add in, I think that that is actually reasonable. I mean, I find it appealing because it leaves the Yerushalmi intact. What that means then is the following, though, and as we have to modify a little bit with what I said before, which is, in other words, the claim is that that's not called processing. Okay, and it happens that one of the interesting facts is the only oil that can be pressed from anything that doesn't have to be cooked in order to be edible is from olives. You know, with some, I don't call freak of miracle of nature, whatever, unusual. We have lots of other oils. Some are more healthy, some are less healthy. If you take peanuts and you were to press them and extract oil, it would be god-awful. It would be unusable. You have to cook them. It has to be cooked. Olive oil is the only oil that need not and normally isn't cooked. So one might argue that the issue at hand is if something doesn't require processing, and pressing is not called processing, you know, and you can add in what you said, it may not be necessary, but the idea that the identity of an olive is the oil, so that's called be'en, according to the Yerushalmi, since it's dako lechol chai without bishul, without any kind of bishul, therefore the bracha is borei, it remains borei preitz, even when you do other things. It's considered be'en. Why? Because it already got its bracha from its natural identity. But things that cannot be eaten raw, certain kinds of yurakos, which therefore people are sholeik, so those, and I'd imagine, I'm only guessing here, it's really that those things that really can't be eaten raw probably require more cooking, as opposed to some vegetables which, if they could be eaten raw, probably you certainly don't need to cook them as much. I don't know if that's a possibility. So those things, we say, that since they cannot be eaten in their raw form, they never gets the bracha bar pri adama, because it's never edible as the pri adama, it always requires human processing. Okay, so that might be the building, I think it's a little better than what you were suggesting, Shama, at least avoids a certain piece. I'm inclined to accept that as the Yerushalmi, and let the Bavli be what the Bavli is, but the Yerushalmi, I think, has a different approach. Moshe and Marlon.
The problem is in reading that line is that, on the one hand, you have to say that Shemen Zayas is Nechal Chai.
Yeah.
But Avalpish Zayas itself is published, the annual.
No. So, but that's the point we were making, that Michael was trying to make, that the identity, even though we already know from one second.
You have to read the before also. You have to read the line before, and then your Shalmi Zayis covers Omer Alav Bari Prayim. You have to read that as Shemen Zayis as well.
No. The point is, and this is what Shalom started and Michael finished. Go back to the beginning of the sugya. What's the status of olives that you press? The answer is that's called olives. That's not processing. So when the Yerushalmi now says that Zayis Darko Lechol Chai, that means in the oil form. You don't have to process it because you don't have to really, because that's not called processing. Because you don't have to process it, it gets the Bracha Bari Priya Aids, and even though you now if you do process it, it's still considered Be'en. Because once it got its Bracha, that's not going to change. Whereas the Yerek, which was an edible raw, never got the Bracha Bari Priya Adama, so now in order to be eaten in the first place, it must be Nishtana. It's in that, and once it's nishtana, once in order to be eaten, it must be, it's nishtana, so therefore.
Except that the Gemara is still using the word kavush. The Gemara used the word kavush before to refer to zayis itself. I'm presuming people eat pickled olives as a fruit.
Yeah, you know, a kavush means pickled olives.
But in the last line of the Gemara, you're saying perhaps it doesn't mean pickled olives.
No.
It means processed olive oil.
No, the kavush means pickled olives. The point is velo pligi zayis ayidei shadarko lechol chai, namely in the oil form. So aval pisha kavash the olives be'eno. In other words, because the olives can be eaten in raw form, namely the oil form, and used that way, therefore
the be'en form is actually the oil.
Oil form. We're talking about what happens when you pickle an olive.
From a sort of physical perspective. It grows as an olive. When you change, normally we change it.
But the emphasis here, again, the assumption is that pressing. Let me put it to you this way: olives can be pressed, even though not on a wide scale, typically without much human intervention. It can happen accidentally. You could imagine that man first discovered olive oil because an olive accidentally got pressed, and he saw this liquid. And okay, you imagine like the Reese's peanut butter commercial, appropriate for this to be parsha. You guys, you don't know?
Which one?
there's a commercial. It's probably it's probably years ago where these two guys are in a cave. It starts raining and they bump into each other and they mix their peanut butter and chocolate and they said, "Oh, this is really good. Let's tell Noah." And then they look at it and it's raining. Ah, we'll wait till after it stops raining. And so it would take another several thousand years for for peanut butter and chocolate to be discovered.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So the point is that you could imagine that olives can be pressed without human intervention. You're not going to get it on a wide scale. They're not going to be pickled or cooked or shaloked without humans intervening. And going back to the theme of why does Be'en matter? It matters because it's still Borei Pre'etz, or Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, as opposed to we did it. David?
It works well with the beginning of the Yerushalmi, which discusses using fruit in liquid form of serum. It's still...
That's what they said. That was their finish. Yeah, no, that's where Shalom started and Michael finished. Absolutely. Okay, so you have to be aware that the Rishonim trying to amend the Yerushalmi, it may address some of the legitimacy as difficulty. Their primary impetus is the fact that it doesn't fit with the Bavli's theme. But putting aside the specific question, again, the general path of the Yerushalmi does not seem to be focused on the question of whether or not people normally eat it this way, normally that way, the way the Bavli is. In other words, there is a line in the Yerushalmi, Shadarko Lechol Chai, but the way the Bavli sees things, when you eat it, a particular food in the way it's normal to eat it, then you make the special bracha. When you eat that very same food, but not the normal way, it loses the bracha. That's clearly not what the Yerushalmi is saying, at least in Okay. Fine. I don't know. I'd be hesitant to make any categorical statement. Okay.
So how would you be amending the
Yerushalmi? They are, with all the difficulties, they are... You look in the Urim, we'll eventually look at it. When we do the Bavli, we'll look at the Rashba. Okay? It's... Okay. What? No, they're motivated by the Bavli. I can't tell you they're not motivated. They might be motivated by Mitzvahs also, but the Bavli is, I think, very explicitly their spur. Yes. I want you to find me one example where it's used in the context of producing juices kavushed. Pressed, you have all over the place.
It says pressed vegetables. Pressed vegetables.
I think he's wrong. I'd like to see what's the citation.
What's the citation for that one?
You might have somewhere like if he's Kovshan, Lahotzi, I don't think it means that, but I'm not gonna. I'll have to take a look at the mission what the Rishonim say before I render judgment on that.
But wouldn't that fit better with
what's that?
That would make a lot of sense.
It would fit better with what we're trying to prove also, because that's like, you do it instantaneously, it's not ready before you do that, and it happens right away.
It also fits well because on the two statements of review, I'm not sure on the same exact thing you brought the first time before.
You guys aren't going to leave me alone, are you? Aaron, you're like a dog with a bone with this thing, but okay, maybe you're right.
Shalom,
what are you saying? Shalom, what are you saying? No, it can't be. It can't. No, this is ridiculous. What are you guys talking about? If you were Kovesh the Zayas, you'd be talking about the oil. What people did with the stuff that was left over? It was nice fuel. You didn't use the stuff that was left over. So you're talking about Shem and Zayas. They would have used the term Shem and Zayas. No. Let's put a stop to this right now. Okay? Kovesh here means pickled. Okay, end of discussion. It's not. I don't mean that's an ex cathedra statement, but rather that they would use the term Shem and Zayas. Right? Okay.
Maybe they would use that stuff. Like they would use olive oil. And if we have a Matsu problem
with this. Nah. I'd rather fast to amend the Ushami than accept that the word kavush doesn't mean what it should mean. Okay. I'm sorry? No, that's what he just said. People don't eat the. You don't, it's not like if you. I mean, I've never seen this, but take something and really juice it and see if you're going to eat what's left over. You know, not when you pray. You know, when I press my grapefruit a little bit, I made some juice out. You can still eat it, but take something and put it, you know, in a real crusher, and you're not. I assure you, you will not want to eat what's left.
They're not eating it. They talk about it, like if Baba.
But they're eating it here. That's what bracha you make on it.
No,
Uktzin is possible. I'm not going to cut. I have to look at the Mishnah Uktzin before I comment on that. I just mean in the Yerushalmi here. Even if in one case it happens, you know, Zation Shakrasha means that, it's not what it means here. I doubt what it's what it means there either. But I will look. Your job is to email me to remind me to look, okay? Or remind me tomorrow morning and I'll look if I don't remember before then. Okay. I'm going to be up having nightmares tonight. Olives being. Pickled olives being crushed. Okay, fine. Alright, now we don't forget our Bavli, our dear beloved Bavli, which has what to say about a lot of these things. The only unfortunate thing in the Bavli is that there's a lot of other stuff in between, and we sort of have to get through that as we read, so we have to deal with the issues as they come up. So I want to at least get started.
According to what we said, if you just cooked a vegetable, would you not say
Hadamah
anymore?
The Psak Halacha, I believe, it depends upon whether or not the vegetable, how it's normally eaten. If it's typically eaten both ways, then the answer is you make a Bari Pei Hadamah both ways. If it's normally only eaten raw and you cook it, you make a Shahakal. If it's normally only eaten cooked and you eat it raw, you'll make a Shahakal. Okay? I believe that, you know, can check, but I believe that's Halacha. Okay, who is going to read for me? A volunteer? Tzvi. I like new volunteers. I don't want to hang anybody over the roast anybody over the open pit, but it's always nice, you know, if you don't want to tempt me in that direction, make sure you volunteer at a time where you're ready to read. Okay, so now that you feel the floor getting warm underneath you, please start. Go ahead. So why does Yayin get its own bracha? A question that doesn't seem to have troubled the Yerushalmi, but okay. Why doesn't it trouble the Yerushalmi? One second. So why doesn't it trouble the Yerushalmi? I don't know. Why doesn't it? Probably because it's obvious. Because why would you think? Why is the Yerushalmi not bothered by the question? It's not a fair question to ask. Because who knows? Maybe they were bothered by it and never made it into the final edition. Maybe, you know, it was lost in transmission. I don't know. But Shalom? No, I. And why didn't it bother the early Amoraim? So you're pointing to the fact that the question... it could be. But there has to be, obviously, a working assumption. Shalom, what you said actually is correct. In other words, the question does come from the anonymous layer of the Gemara, and they're using earlier pieces, so you could argue it was a question that it not only didn't concern the Yerushalmi, it didn't concern the Bavli in its early, the early Amoraim eye. The question is, why not? Because it does sort of beg the question, why? No, it's not tangential.
It's slightly tangential. It's on the right topic, but it's not straight thought like the
Chutz min Ayayin, why? And that's, Michael?
They were a press person. They were only concerned with, like, what the halakha was and not why the halakha was. They weren't asking, like, why did they get wrong? They made a wrong one, so.
Excuse me.
I'll actually answer the question without being tongue-in-cheek, which is to say that Abaye and Rava were the first briskers. And I mean that in a serious way. Dr. Ullman, I think, has made a comment along those lines, which is that conceptual development... conceptual. Firstly, I think it's true throughout the Gemara generally. Even though we can't prove it, I think the earlier they're always concerned about reasons why. Number one, not just quantifying, but explaining. Number two, assuming that there is some inherent association between conceptual learning and not being interested in the reasons and just defining, I would say that the tendency towards conceptual analysis is a later tendency. The Mishnah is very much not modeled along those lines to a great extent, and the early Amoraim are less concerned. Abaye and Rava are the ones, at least in terms of the preserved record, who are the first ones who, on the whole, tend to be presenting the overarching concepts. So if you learn Hilchos Shabbos as an example, the Masechet Shabbos, the notions of the formulation of the term Davar Sheino Miskaven, the notion of psikration, not just the formulation of the term, are late terms. They originate with Abaye and Rava. Before Abaye and Rava, no one had seems to have articulated any difference between Psik Resha and Darvashan Miskavi as an example. In fact, Abaye and Rava were the ones who first figured out. Abaye originally did not hold of a distinction, and then Rava came up with an Abaye and said, that sounds good. There are a lot of other things, a lot of examples, terminology, and I'm assuming terminology to some extent reflects a trend towards conceptualization. You know, it's hard, this is an area that's been studied. It's hard to have conceptualization if you don't have the language to express it in. So it's not that there aren't concepts underlying the Mishnah and there aren't machlokas over concepts, but this strong focus on conceptualization is later. So I would tend to doubt that that's the reason why they wouldn't have asked the question. Okay, fair enough? Okay. The tongue-in-cheek answer is, chas v'shalom, of course they weren't briskers, but yes. Okay, Ezra, question? No, okay, fine. So the answer is, the reason they didn't ask the question, because the Mishnah begs the question, the reason they didn't ask the question is probably because it's obvious. The answer, of course, what is the obvious answer? Probably because, what's that? Well, okay, that's the answer that the Bavli gives, probably because the answer that's special, maybe because that was sort of the primary beverage, in the same way that bread is the primary food. Right, so it could be because it's Iluyuk. I'm not saying that they're, you know, that they didn't agree with the Bavli's later reason, but I could think of some pretty obvious reasons, and you know, and being it was their staple. So their staple, you know, there's a tendency towards singling out special foods with special brachos. So you know, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh v'lechem levav enosh yisad. And why did
forget the shemen?
And why did David HaMelech pick those two? In his Tehillim, the answer is because that's what they used to eat. Okay, and why were those the things singled out? Why does the Torah demand that we bring animals and we bring bread, the menachos, and we bring wine in the mikdash? Why? Because people used to spend every Shabbos eating cholent and kugel. My wife thinks that in the third base hamikdash we're not going to bring animals. Instead, we're going to bring cash, and you put it on the mizbeach and burn it. Okay, that's her answer. So the alternative shita will be cholent and kugel. I will continue to bring my animal and my mincha and my yayin. But anyway, okay. Yes, is there a question? Okay. Yeah.
The way you think about it is, you always think that you say hagif on a wine because it's so rare and special that you have it. It's actually like the exact opposite. See, like, when you have wine, it's like a nice occasion.
Correct. So again, that is very well put, Ezra. Ezra's observation that today, again, I don't know what third world countries do in terms of what are their typical beverages, and it's hard to tell anymore because the influences of the West may blur things. But yes, it's hard. We look at wine as for an occasion, but that's not, although, and more in America probably than, let's say, France. But you have to remember that 400, 500 years ago, and certainly maybe more recently, and certainly going further back, it was the standard beverage. So that may very well be why it's not a pressing question, because the answer is obvious. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, go ahead. Ilema mishrim dishtani leluya. So that can't be that cannot be the primary or only reason, because shemen doesn't get a special bracha. The Amar. So you see that you make eitz, you get the same bracha. So the answer given is Amrei. Now you know why, because the rabbis weren't clever enough with language, they couldn't come up with a nusach habracha. So the Bavli says, what are you talking about? In Nevarei. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, great, right? So you can say Borei Pri HaZayis, because the Zayis is the olive. Zayis can also be the olive tree, but it wouldn't, as opposed to Borei Pri HaGefen, where the Gefen is only the vine and not the fruits of the vine. So you can't say Borei Pri HaZayis. Therefore, but the Bavli says, but v'nevarei halei. Okay, so you could have a nusach habracha. Chazal, they knew the Hebrew language and the Aramaic language pretty well. They could have come up with a nusach habracha. Chaim.
I mean, does anyone ever like entertain this idea of making a bracha of bari pre eitz hazayis beyond this? I mean, or
not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. So Ella. Zion, probably, and Mishcha. You know, actually, the truth is probably, it's probably Zoyain, following the Aramaic participle, like Kosev. But, so, whatever, what we say Zion, that's how we say it. So, Wachamra Zion, Mishkala Zion. What's that? So, what does this mean? It nourishes.
Never lets you down.
Well, Zion would probably be, see, I would not say fills up, because that's more likely to be Zion. It sustains. Right, it sustains a person. In other words, it provides nourishment. Okay, now wine does provide nourishment. Sugars.
It's water based.
What's that?
It's water based, as opposed to oil, which is not going to really do all that much.
I don't think that they're talking about hydrating. No. I don't think that's a Zion, but certainly, I don't think they're thinking in those terms. I think Zion is a reference to you know, caloric support. You know, and alcohol is obviously sugar. No, fermented sugar.
Oil is also pretty.
What's that?
Oil is also pretty loaded with calories.
Yeah, yes. So they're going to say that it's not true. Right. I mean, I could see one subsisting on wine for a little bit of time. Olive oil. Again, it's, you know, it's good lubricant. What? What's that? He also died of a heart attack. They may not be related, but okay. So anyway, so the Bavli says that can't be. Why? Mishkalo Zayin. So the Mishnah Erevin says that if you take a neder not to get any hana from mazon, you're allowed to consume water and salt. So they say Vavinan Ba. Okay, so you see that everything else would be called mazon. So you see, if something is mazon, it sustains. So Nema. No, so one second. Let me correct. No, for the first thing, we haven't proven anything. We've proven that everything else is called mazon. Okay, so far. So it would seem now, if something could be called perhaps mazon, even though it's not. Mazon could just mean, at this point, food. Okay, everybody would agree that olive oil is food, but it doesn't necessarily sustain. But we're not done yet. So that's where you need the whole shock of Italia. In other words, you have to keep everything in suspense here. There's the kasha as follows. Mishkal ozayan, but don't we have a Mishnah in Erevin that says that no demon on mazon is not allowed to partake in oil? And we had a kasha. That in itself doesn't prove anything. We had a kasha. What was the kasha? Go ahead. So you see, they say that the Mishnah on its own should be a tift against Rav and Shmuel, who say that boring minei mizonos, you only say on the chamesh hasminei dagon. And yet, the Mishnah says that everything is called mazon except for mayim and melach. One second. So the answer we gave for that is... Now, ve'omar, the ve tells you that you're still quoting. Ve'omar Rav Huna said, but omer kol hazon alai. Not kol omer mazon alai, but kol omer kol hazon alai. So what do you see from that then? See that all the other foods are Zion. In fact, they may not be called Mizonos, but what? Rav Huna was simply explaining why the Mishnah Erevin wasn't a kasha against Rav and Shmuel. But by doing so, he created a problem for us. He claimed that it's not that oil is called Mazon, it's that oil is Zon, Kol HaZon Alai. So you need the entire Shach Levitaya to create the question in our Sugya, to indicate that Shemin, in fact, is Zon. Now, I'm going to stop at this particular point, but I'm going to ask you the following question. Did anybody look at the sugya in Erevin?
Yeah.
Can somebody tell me where is the original sugya?
No.
Okay, so I want you to go, as you prepare tomorrow, and I'm going to send you more Makoros, I want you to think about where the sugya originates. This is one of those rare cases where the Gemara left the explicit markers in it.
And it would be because it explains why it's used.
I'm not telling you yes, I'm not telling you no. I want you to think about that question as you prepare tomorrow. Again, I'll just send you, I said that's already in the Amar Mekomas, I will send you more Mekoros, but I want you to think about it carefully, because remember Klal Gadol B'Gemara is that when you have a sugya that's duplicated in two places, it wasn't created twice. It was created once, and then it was typically created in one context, and then it was used in another context. Okay? This is one of those rare cases where the explicit markers were left in the Bavli that actually are dead giveaway as to where the sugya originated.
It's usually not so clear which
was the original. Usually, I mean, sometimes you can guess. Sometimes you can guess. But it's not an educated guess, but it's not explicit. And sometimes, on rare occasions, it's quite explicit. And here, you're going to scratch your head when you think about what the Gemara Neirvin says. You have to scratch your head a while and figure out what it's talking about. If you're having trouble understanding what the Gemara Neirvin says about, we asked the Kasha once already, take a look in the Sfas Emes in Neirvin. Okay? Okay, good.